I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the gift of being able to be together in community. Lord, we pray for all of those right now who are struggling with work. God, we pray for those who work for the government and who are either not being paid or who are laid off right now. And we pray, God, for our government leaders to be able to work together to figure this out. God, we pray and we thank you that this is a church that is willing to walk with people through challenging realities, and we will do that, Lord. God, I pray today that as I share and as Jason shares with me, God, that you would speak through us, that you would give us the words that you want us to say, Lord, that we would get out of the way, that you would open the ears of everybody who's here, open our minds to be open to understanding and open our hearts to be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, and do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite my friend Jason to come up. If you don't know Jason, you're going to want to. Jason's an incredible human that's been connected to this church almost a year now. And I asked him, we've been talking for a little while about him getting to share some of his story. And I said, we have this day coming up called I Love My Church Day. Let me get this out of the way of you guys. And I wonder if you might share a little bit of it today. So Jason, thank you for being here. Yeah, there you go. There you go. And you're really going to clap when he's done. Don't worry. But Jason, I wonder if you might share just a little bit of your story with folks here today.
So first, I normally go to the 9 o'clock. So if you've never seen me before and you're like, why is he on stage? That's why.
He comes to church. I promise.
been about a year. A year ago, I was in a very bad place, which is putting it mildly. My life had been falling apart for some time, and it fully collapsed about a year ago. So I, all my life, have suffered from PTSD since I was a child. I didn't actually know that for most of my life. I thought I had depression and anxiety and anger issues, but it was actually PTSD, and I didn't know that until, in 2020, I spiraled out really badly. And in 2022, I ended up in the hospital and spent 2 months out of work, and that's where I found out I had PTSD. Did not find that out in time to salvage my relationships. And by last year, my marriage was over as well, and I was in a place in my life where I had absolutely no one in my life and absolutely nowhere to go. I was completely desperate and completely alone. And I knew I wasn't going to make it. I felt like I was just falling and that I was going to not survive that landing. I hadn't been to church in a long time, and I hadn't prayed in a long time, but that was the last thing I had left. And so I prayed. I prayed really hard. And God heard me, and God answered me, because I got a very clear message in my head, very, very clear of what to do. I needed to find community, and I was told to come here specifically. That is what I felt, and I believe that with all my heart. God told me to come here and find community here, and that I would be safe here. And so I did. And I was afraid to come. I hadn't, like I said, hadn't been in a long time. And so I wanted to make sure I would come. And so the Saturday before, I went online to the website and I filled out the form that said, hey, I'm going to come. Because that way I knew I wouldn't be able to chicken out at the last minute. Because I knew that was a real danger. But I filled out that form and it could not have been 5 minutes before Tim responded. And I had an email from Tim saying, come and see me. Come introduce yourself to me in the parking lot. I'll be out there. And so Sunday, the next day, I came in, and he was waiting for me. And before I said a word to me, he looked at me, and he's like, hey, are you Jason? And I hadn't set foot in the church yet. I hadn't met him yet, and he already knew my name. And that was a welcome that I couldn't believe. And the welcome I've received here, it just never stopped. I mean, it just has grown ever since then. So, I said, I felt like I was falling, and then this congregation and this church caught me before I could hit the ground. And it held on to me, and it's been carrying me for a year now. And a year ago, I had nowhere to go and nobody in my life. And now I have a place that feels like home and a congregation that feels like my family. So we love you. I love you too. I love you. And, yeah, now I've got a cheering section now. I fell in love with this place immediately. I came to one service and I started volunteering for things. That Sunday was my first time here, and on Thursday I was volunteering for the 5K, the Thanksgiving 5K, and I was out directing people running and signing up shirts. And at the 9 o'clock service, I do basically as much first impression stuff as they'll let me do. So a lot of times I'll do three jobs at a time. So, Tim once joked to me that I'm here more than he is.
Because I'm only here on Sundays.
It's been an amazing experience. I just, like I said, from the moment that I reached out, the church grabbed me and held on to me, and it's been holding me ever since.
Jason, what would you say to somebody who's here today who says, either I'm brand new or I've been coming and I don't feel connected? What would you say to them?
I would say you could just let somebody know. There's a million different opportunities here. There's more things going on at this church than anybody could ever do. And so you can just look at anything going on, pick one thing that speaks to you. And I would say really just take one step towards it. Take one step towards the congregation. Take one step towards this church. And the Holy Spirit here is so powerful, and that, you know, take that one step and God will take you the rest of the way. And the congregation will grab onto you like they did to me.
Awesome. Hey, let's thank Jason. Friends, that's real stuff. That's what the church is designed for, to reveal Christ to the world, to love one another, and to push us to be more like Jesus. And there it is. And I'm going to talk about that today as we talk about why we love our church. And I want you to hear this. And Rudy alluded to this, and Jason alluded to this. Why do I love Crossroads? It's because of y'all. It's because of the people who are the most like church of anything I've ever experienced, who love so deeply, who push beyond the boundaries that most of us are comfortable with so that people can feel welcomed, who don't just say unlimited welcome, but actually practice it. Last week, somebody came for the first time, and they leaned into somebody in the church, and they said, is this real? Like, is it really unlimited welcome? And the person goes, heck yeah. That's what it is here. And that's what I love about this church. I promised you last week I was going to take a story that we talked about last week and develop it a little further. And this is the story of somebody named Mary. And I want to read you a passage today. It comes from the gospel according to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It says, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised him from the dead. That's just a little side point there, that he raised this guy from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him, because that's what you do when somebody's come back from the dead. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was within it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. The perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she's used it. You'll always have the poor among you, but won't always have me." I mean, this is a powerful, powerful story. We're told Lazarus has been raised from the dead. He's back in his family's house. This is a celebration. And not only is Lazarus sitting at the table, but so is Jesus. And they're sitting there and they're waiting to have this meal. And Martha, who's so happy that her brother's alive, who's so happy that Jesus is in their midst, is there preparing the food. And Mary comes in, and she has this big old bottle of perfume. And I have to wonder, what was it like in that room? What was that moment like? I mean, can you imagine being with Lazarus and being with Jesus and being with Martha and being with Mary? And Mary does this thing because it was not acceptable at the time for women to touch a man in public. And she goes to the dirtiest part of Jesus' feet, where he's been wearing sandals and walking through the dirt and the mud, and she leans down and she puts perfume on his feet. It says, then Mary took an extraordinary amount almost 3/4 of a pound of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Have you ever smelled somebody with too much perfume? Too much cologne. Come on, you've walked into that elevator where you're like, ooh, ooh, I can smell that. And that's what happens. She soaks her hair in it. That ain't going away for days, y'all. It's not happening. And she uses a lot of perfume. An entire bottle. I remember years and years and years ago, and it's only happened once. My wife probably doesn't even remember it because it only happened once. I went into a store to buy her perfume. And I went to one of those fancy, you know, those places where they have the counters and you're walking around and they pay people just to spray people with perfume. I don't know if they still do that or not. I've only done it once. But when they did, they paid people to spray people with perfume. And I took what I thought was a really healthy amount of money in to buy my wife some perfume because she had mentioned she wanted it for Christmas. And I go in and I tell the woman, I say, I got this money. And I told her how much it was. She said, let me go get you something that you can get for that. And I kid y'all not, she brought out a box of little samples. Those, you know, those, you've seen them, those little vials. She said, this is what you can afford. I gave it to my wife. I am certain she thought that was her stocking stuffer, but that was her Christmas gift that year. But Mary takes enough that's a year's salary and she pours it on his feet. She takes her hair and she wipes it. Think of this for a second. She's given all of who she is to Jesus. The whole thing. She's 100% in. And there's a couple of reasons she might have done this. Jesus alluded to this with his burial. Maybe she did it because it was foreshadowing that Jesus was going to die at the time when someone was buried to hide the smell. They would put perfume all around it. It was also something they did for kings at the time. So there's potentially a declaration of Jesus being king, not from a political standpoint, but from just a he's king of the world standpoint. So maybe that's what's going on. But whatever reason she does this, it shows she's all in. And the truth is both her and Jesus are going to smell the same for a long time now. She's going to walk down the street and she's going to reek of Jesus. She's not going to have to tell the story because she's going to walk by and people are going to go, that's that woman. I can tell because I can smell her. As she walks through the crowd, I can smell Jesus all over her. See, she's all in. And frankly, friends, it's a little bit like this church. It's what I love about this church. We're all in. We're doing a pickleball tournament next Saturday. Y'all, we don't know nothing about pickleball. We're doing it because we believe that mental health and wellness matters. We're all in to try to follow Jesus and do the things that Christ tells us to do in the world. And when you hear stories like Jason's, you hear about somebody that's all in. He reeks of Jesus, and so do the people who love him and walk with him. They reek of Jesus. And I am curious this morning, where are you? You might say, Tim, it's my first time here. I'm not even sure about Jesus. Welcome to the team. You might say, I've been here for a long time, and I know there's movement I've got to make to be 100% in. Welcome to the team, because we all walk together. What does it look like for us to sit at the feet of Jesus? How do we do that? We say that we're a church in the transformation business. Friends, think about this moment. Because of Jesus, Martha and Mary's brother is alive again. There is no greater transformation that can happen. He is back. He has new life. He has come back and he's sitting in the moment. He was literally resurrected and Mary is pouring out her very best as an offering because she says, I am 100% in. I've told this story before, so if you've heard it, I apologize. Years ago, I taught this course for people who were new to the church. It was called the Alpha Course. And there was this guy named Nicky Gumbel who led videos that we used for the course. And he told this story about these officers that had to take an exam to become a police officer. And he's talking about this one officer and the first three questions were super simple. And he got to the fourth question. And I want to read this fourth question to you and how he responded. The question on the exam reads like this. You're on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there's an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your division inspector who's at present away in the United States. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, but you realize that he's a man who's wanted for armed robbery. I mean, this is a complex question, right? Suddenly, another man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife, who's expecting a baby, the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion. He cannot swim. Bearing in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act, describe in a few words what actions you would take. It says the police officer paused for a moment and he thought, and he wrote this, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." Friends, how often are we taking off our uniform and mingling with the crowd? How often are we going, yeah, I'm really all in on this Jesus thing, but I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to tell people about my church. I'm a little embarrassed because I feel like it might offend somebody. Y'all, where is your stench? Where is your perfume when you leave these walls? What smell do you carry out into the world? Because I got to tell you, a lot of the world stinks right now. And we need some good Jesus smell out there. We need some perfume to light up the world. We need to make a big difference. Don't take the uniform off. Wear it proudly out into the world. Not to judge people, but to love them. And to let them know how deeply they're loved. Because there's an alternative in the story. The alternative is Jesus, is Judas. And Judas, here's the problem. The smell of that perfume is piercing his nose. Look at what it says. It says, this perfume, Judas says, was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor? Judas is right. After all, Jesus cared deeply about the poor. But John is really careful in this moment to name the motivations that Judas has. You notice John didn't need to name Mary's motivations because they were pure. They were good. But he names Judas's motivations, and it's really important. He says, he's trying to fool you. His motivations are not good. He's going to get in there. He's going to steal the money. He's going to take it. He's not going to share it with the poor. And Jesus is so frustrated about this, he rebukes Judas for it. He knows what's going to happen, and he names it. He says, don't try to steal her joy. Don't try to steal her smell. I said this at 9 years ago. I was on the Board of Ordained Ministry, which does interviews for people to become pastors. And we interviewed this guy, and he had a great interview, and we get out at the end, and somebody goes, I don't know. I think he's a little too joyful. And I said, don't worry, friends. The world and the church will steal that from him. They'll temper that just fine. He'll be fine. Friends, what does it mean to stink like Jesus? What does it mean to reek like Jesus for the world? What does it mean to share that love with the world? See, Mary is defined by that reality. She is defined by her love of Christ. You saw the order of when this happened, right? Her brother dies, he's resurrected, and then this thing happens. But here's the interesting thing. John introduces her back in chapter 11 before we ever get to this story. And it says this, now a certain man was ill. This was before he died. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped her feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. Y'all, John told about this before it ever happened. Why? Because he defines her by her smell. He says, you may remember this, because remember the story's written down later. You may remember this. She's the one that was walking through town and everybody was going, woo! She got a lot of perfume. See, he defines her by her love of Christ. He defines her by her actions to the world. She is defined by the stench that comes from her. And here's the reality. I have found in my life I want to be a lot more like Mary. I want to give all of who I am to Jesus. I want to walk through places and people go, that guy's got a little too much joy. Ask my wife. She says it all the time. That guy's got a little too much joy, and it is because Christ is radiating from his life. That's what I want. Y'all, you want to change the world? Don't wait for the government to do it. Seriously, get out there and smell like Jesus. Let that scent transform the world. Let that power change the world around you, because you're going to shock the heck out of people and you're going to make them stop right where they were. They might not want to be in the elevator with you, but they're going to want to walk down the street around you, because you reveal Christ everywhere you go. I wonder how differently this world might be if we do that. Because on this I Love My Church Sunday, I wonder, what if we all committed to reeking like Jesus? That, my friends, will change the world. Amen.